just as you have sung that there's no one else for you than me, I want you to know there is no one else for me but you. I died for you. I gave my life for you. And I will pour myself out to you. I will fill you with all that I am so that you can accomplish everything I demonstrated when I was on the earth. I will give to you all that is of mine. And I said that the Holy Spirit would reveal this to you, that He would take what is mine and give it unto you. As you spend time with the Holy Spirit, He is able to deposit more and more and more of what is mine into you. I want you walking in the fullness of who you are in me, because that enables me to minister through you according to the fullness of who I am. Continue to seek me. Do not think that what is written in Scripture is made up of just words. For when I said that if you believe, you would be able to do the works that I did, I meant it. That is your potential. So continue conforming to the image of my glory, and you will see these works take place through you, says the Lord. Tonight, we're going to have a special guest minister to us. I've asked Michaela Legault to come and minister. She's 19 years old. And if I remember correctly, at one time I was 19. I was way back yonder. But Michaela and her sister Rebecca are so much further along in God than what I was at age 19. You know the old adage, boy, if I knew then what I know now. Well, I really mean that. I wish I knew, I wish I had the commitment back then that they have now. And I so appreciate their dedication to the Lord. And Michaela, she graduated from high school last year. But even while she was in high school, she had, I'll just say it like this, a really special encounter with God. And she's going to share with you however she wants to share about any of that. But she began praying while she was in high school. She'll talk about all that. But that's something I never did. And I look back on it and I think, you know, if I'd been in high school and I had spent time praying and seeking God, where would I be today in ministry? Where would I be today in my walk with God? So she is, you know, light years ahead of me compared to what I was. You don't even want me to stand up here and talk about how I was at age 19. And I so respect this walk that she has with God. And not only is she going to minister, but I talked with her grandfather tonight, Mike O'Brien. I was here in the office and he called and we spoke for a while. And he said that he was going to be watching. Now, he was excited. Here, you got a guest speaker tonight. Said, oh, yeah. So, Brother Mike is watching. Hello, Brother Mike. Thank you for the phone call today. And I can just imagine that you're there saying, you know, come on, Pastor Jim, hush up, get Michaela up here. So, all righty, we're going to do that. So, would you please welcome Michaela as she comes to share from the Word of God?
Really different seeing people this time. The first time I spoke here, there was nobody other than a couple people over there. So tonight I'm going to be talking a bit about the importance of prayer, as well, more specifically, the importance of praying in tongues. And so I'm going to start by saying that there are four different types of tongues. So there's tongues for personal edification, tongues for interpretation, tongues is assigned to the unbeliever, and tongues of deep intercessional groanings. Now, tongues for personal edification is the only one of those four that we can do as we will. So the other three require a move of the Holy Spirit upon us, but this one we can do whenever we feel like it. And so part of what happens when we pray in tongues for edification is that Holy Spirit comes and he ministers to us and he begins to purge the things in our lives that are not of God, like different sins that we could be struggling with. And one of the amazing things that he does is he creates a perfect prayer that he sends directly up to God on our behalf. And what's so great about this prayer is that the enemy can't understand it. So if you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians 14:2. So that was 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, it says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." And so the only being in all of creation that can understand this perfect prayer is God. And this totally destroys the enemy's plans to come against us. See, the enemy, his whole purpose in existence, well, not his purpose in existence, but what he's made his purpose to be, is to kill, steal, and destroy us. And how better to kill, steal, and destroy us than to confuse this great weapon God has given us, which is praying in the Spirit. He has confused the body of its importance and its value. Many Christians have come to the point where they hardly even acknowledge the Holy Spirit. And we've gotten this whole message out of the Word that says that we're just sinners saved by grace. So when we become born again, we get the life and nature of Jesus inside of us. However, we still have the flesh, which gets tempted. But the temptation only becomes sin when we act upon it. So God has asked us, he has called us to live like Jesus and to be like Jesus. But we know that Jesus walked on this earth perfectly. So if you're thinking, I'm just a sinner, I can't help but be bad, but God's asked me to not sin, well then how can I do this? It seems unfair. Well, God is not unfair. He has given us the tools we need to stop sinning because Jesus too was tempted. However, he used these tools. He was in an intimate relationship with God where he prayed and was constantly in communication with God that allowed him to walk on this earth without sinning. And so one of the amazing tools he's also given us is the Word. So when we press into the Word, we begin to see who Jesus is because Jesus is the Word and the Word is Jesus and we cannot separate the two. And when we see Jesus, we've seen the Father because Jesus only speaks what he hears the Father speak and only does what he sees the Father do. But one of the great things Holy Spirit does is he helps us interpret the Bible. So the Bible is like taking a book that is written in German and giving it to someone who only speaks English and telling them, read this for me and tell me what it means. And so they can read it. There may be a couple things they understand because maybe this word's kind of similar, but ultimately their understanding is limited because they do not have the interpreter. And it's the same with Christians. We need to come at the Bible from a standpoint with the Holy Spirit saying, Holy Spirit, please minister to me what this is saying and please share with me your heart on this. So often we've come at the word with our own understanding. But if we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you'll turn with me there. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned," meaning that it's through the Spirit that we discern the meaning of the Bible. So how can we come at the Bible without the Spirit and expect to get any good doctrine from it? This is where so much bad doctrine has come from. It's just people going into the Word with their natural mind and saying, well, here's what I think it should say, or here's what I believe it says, or here's what I've grown up hearing, here's what my denomination claims. But God has called us not to rely on denominations, on what we've heard from childhood, but to search the Scriptures daily and to find the meaning for ourselves. And so that's one of the many great benefactors of having the Holy Spirit. Aside from that, we also have, as I said, speaking in tongues and how that begins to help us conform to the image of Christ. And so one of the things Pastor Jim has been speaking about recently is about our friend groups and who we give our time to and the kind of people that we allow in our inner circle and how they affect our beliefs and how they affect how we act. And so it's the same with Jesus. When we begin to put our time into Jesus and put our time into knowing who he is, we'll begin to conform to him. And as we conform to him, we'll begin to see the acts and moves of God in our lives. We'll begin to see the revivals that we are wanting, the ones that we've been searching for centuries, for years. Those will begin to become a part of our daily lives. If we're supposed to be like Jesus and Jesus healed people, then we should be seeing healings happen every day. Anytime someone needs to be healed, we should be able to go up to them and pray for them. And we should be able to see that healing manifest because Jesus did it. And so we should do it. And so one of the things, I'm going to share a little personal story, was that back when I was 17 years old, I started to really want to see these things happen in my own life. I had read about different ministers and ministries who had started praying in tongues and had started doing these things that the Bible tells us to do, and they started seeing the acts and moves of God happen. And I thought, I want to walk in that kind of power. I want to see glory given to Jesus, and I want to see his kingdom come here on earth. And so one night, I had this dream, and I really believe it was from God, because I was at a point where high school is only 1 year left of high school, and I was going to have to start having answers to know if I'm going to go to college or not, and what I'm going to study, because I felt called to be a missionary, but there isn't exactly a missionary major in colleges, so I was a little unsure about what to do next as far as what was the next step for my life and what God was calling me to do. And I also knew the kind of person I wanted to live for Jesus. And so one night I was sleeping, and I had this dream, and what it was there was this tent structure built, and it was like wooden rods all built. And now what was next is the part I had to do, which was just to finish building the tent, like, you know, like put the tarp on, tie it all up. And my dad was there, and he was watching me do it, and I was getting so frustrated because I couldn't do it. And I knew he knew how to do it. He had the instructions, but I had to go and ask him. But I didn't want to. I was like, I can do this on my own. And so I kept trying to do it. And eventually I was just so frustrated because none of the knots would hold, nothing was staying together. I mean, the first built structure was fine, but everything after that was not happening. And so eventually I turned to him and I asked him, okay, how do we do this? And so he gave me the first step. And the first step was to take a 1 inch by 1.5 inch piece of like thick flat plastic and tie it around the first wooden rod. And I was like, this is impossible. It's so small, it won't reach. But this was the first step. And so I was like, okay, the only way I'm going to be able to do this is by following the steps. And so I took the little piece of plastic and started pulling with all my might. And eventually what happened was it was as though the plastic was growing, and eventually I was able to tie it. And so when I woke up, I was like, okay, God, I think this is from you. So please just help me to understand what you're trying to tell me. And so in it, the structural base, God was telling me, this is the basis of your life. So you've been taught and raised in church and told about me. At 17, speaking in tongues was nothing new to me. When I was under 3 years old, my mom had explained to me about the Holy Spirit, and I received his infilling, and I was praying in tongues. I would go to church with my parents on the Thursday night's prayer service, and I would march around the church praying in tongues out loud, walking around the whole church. And so that was like my basis. And with that said, I want to make the point that none of the kids are too young to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
None of the kids are too young to be praying in the Spirit. And every person, young person here, no matter how old they are or how old, is old enough to participate in our prayer service Sunday nights. They are 100% old enough to be sitting here in the pews or at home praying aloud or quietly. But, you know, they're old enough to be doing this. And so, anyway, to continue, the following part was that God was telling me that, look, I've got the steps for you, but I'm not going to give you the whole full picture because it's way too much. So I'm just giving you step at a time. And even if it seems kind of trivial or impossible, I can do it so long as you let me and so long as you follow and obey what I'm telling you to do. And so it's like, okay, God, I understand. And the following day, I received what I believe is a word from God, because I was, again, meditating on this. I was like, God, I really want to be someone who can walk in power for your kingdom. I don't want to wait till I'm what young people would consider old, I guess. Like, I don't want to wait till I'm 40 or whatever to be able to start, to start walking out and doing what you've called me to do. I don't want to have to say, well, one day when I'm older, it would all just fall into place, because for one, that's not going to happen. It's like, you can say, well, right now, I don't know how to play soccer, but one day I'm just going to reach the point where if I watch enough soccer, I'll just be able to know how to do it. It's like, that's not how it works. You actually have to put into practicing and playing it. So it's the same with church. You can, same with God. You can come to church and listen, but if you're not putting the things you're hearing into practice, you're not going to have that kind of relationship with God where you can be the vessel that he can use for his kingdom in the way that you see some of these people who are out there, and they're praying for people and healings are happening. Because when you have the kind of relationship with Jesus that's intimate and deep, where you've spent time to get to know him, he's going to be able to manifest miracles through you. He's going to be able to use you for his kingdom in just amazing and powerful ways. And so I'm just going to read for you this little thing that I had received from God, which was, there's sin in your life in which you give into. You say you want more and to walk in power, yet you continue to allow your flesh to win. Press into me and I will remove the sin in your life, but you must choose to do so. I've called you to do something greater, and if you allow me to work in you, I will make you a woman of power. I will manifest miracles through you. Illnesses will be healed and minds restored. Pray in the Spirit every day for an hour. I will reveal the things of my word in new and powerful ways to you, and I shall make the plans I have for you known. And so, with that, I took this seriously, and at 17 years old, I went off to work at a Christian summer camp up in Canada, and I had to be ready at 7:15 for our staff devotionals every morning. And so I was getting up at 5 a.m. so I could pray in the Spirit for an hour, and then I would spend time reading my word, because I know that faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word. And so I knew that you can't just do one thing, but you need to do the thing, all the things God's called you to do in order to grow and become the kind of person he can use. And so after, you know, doing those few things, we start staff devos, and it was not easy. It's really tiring working all day long and then going to bed late and then waking up at 5 a.m. But I knew that my priorities had to be Jesus first, because when we are living for Christ, he needs to be at the forefront. When we want to move, when we want to see Jesus move in our lives, he needs to be at the front of it. We need all of our decisions to be based on what he's telling us. And so I remember one of the amazing things that happened that summer was all these different revelations of the Bible, this new hunger for reading the word, and how quickly that hour of praying in the Spirit became. So at first it seemed a little long, you know, check your watch a few times. But eventually, it'd be like, whoa, the hour's up. And I started to want to do it more and more. And at near the end of the summer, I had been speaking to one of my co-staffs about the Holy Spirit. And one morning, he got up with me at 5 a.m. He came up into the staff devotional room with me. And I told him what I told you guys about the four different types of tongues. And then I explained to him, you know, it might feel a little weird at first. It might feel silly to speak what sounds like gibberish. But understand that this is just a language you've never heard before, that only the Holy Spirit understands and God. And so I prayed with him, and we asked Holy Spirit to come and fill him, and that he would receive the ability to speak in tongues. And after doing that, we sat in quiet for a bit, and then he started speaking out in tongues. And then I started praying in tongues also, and we just prayed in tongues for the next hour. And that was such an amazing moment, because it was something that I was asking God to do. I was asking him, use me for your kingdom. And by my obedience, he was using me for his kingdom, and it brought glory to his name, and it brought someone into a deeper relationship with him, which was just amazing. And so I just want to encourage you all to put in the time to spend with God, to put in the time to pray in the Spirit, because the things that we want to see, these revivals, the moves of God, will only happen through this deep and intimate relationship that we can build with him. even if you only have 15, 30 minutes a day, use that time towards praying in tongues and developing that relationship with God, and eventually you'll be wanting more time. So we're just going to head into our 30 minutes of prayer that we've been doing for the past few Sunday nights. So some of you might have your little prompts of prayer list. You can get those out if you'd like.